today on Real Radio.
Do you have a situation in your life that ain't going well? Don't blame God. He didn't cause it. Run to him for the answer. Run to him for relief. Run to him for shelter. And we've got to fight our emotional response.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah prophesied during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. Isaiah was constantly given messages from God about the moral breakdown of the times, but the book of Isaiah is often quoted in the New Testament also. Visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and about his return when he sets up his millennial kingdom here on earth. In chapters 36 through 39, we saw how Isaiah deals with events that are currently happening in Judah. How Assyria, Judah's greatest enemy, had surrounded Judah, and how Assyria's field commander was mocking them with lies. The nation of Assyria was ruled by Sennacherib, a title that means the Great One, and was greatly feared by Judah because no one had ever survived his attacks. But Judah's king Hezekiah prayed to the Lord for help. And now we're going to see how God delivers Judah from the Assyrians in a miraculous way. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that an angel of the Lord went to the camp of the Assyrians and killed 185,000 in that army. Sennacherib responds by returning to Assyria in defeat and prays to his God. But his God couldn't save him, and he was murdered by his two sons. And now in his lesson called With God's Defense, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The book of Isaiah and chapter 36, though we will recap just a bit in 36, we are predominantly tonight heading and finishing off chapters 38 and 39. We're looking at a portion of scripture, you guys, that's really important for this reason. It's going to end, chapter 39 ends this segment of the book of Isaiah, which is considered. Look, I don't believe what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what it's taught in seminary, that chapters 1 to chapters 39 or 40-ish were given by one Isaiah, but chapters 40 or 41 out to chapter 66 was written by some other Isaiah. And if you go to seminary, you'll spend about $25,000 to waste an entire year as professors discuss who wrote the book of Isaiah, which one. And the reason why they have confusion or doubt is because the first 40 chapters are of a certain genre of style and message and vision. And then chapter 40 changes all the way out to 66, and it's a different approach. The truth of the matter is, Jesus knows the answer to that question. And Jesus already answered it. In John's gospel, Jesus winds up quoting both sections of the book of Isaiah in his teaching. And Jesus literally says, and this same Isaiah, isn't that great? I believe it's John chapter 12. I'm going from memory. Jesus speaks and quotes from the first section of Isaiah. And then he says, and the same Isaiah said, and he quotes from the second section. So what does that mean? That means that there is a pause in the ministry of the prophet Isaiah. He had a very long career. And that when from chapter 1 on to what is considered the first section, it's the woes, it's the judgment highlighted at times by the millennial joys. And that's been the only relief, you guys, when we do our studies and we come to all of these woe, woe, woe and plagues and judgments. And then there's the breakout, like chapter 35 of the millennium. And we go, yeah, it sounds great. And then he goes back to the heavies. Well, I tell you what, when we get now, next week, into Isaiah 40 all the way to 66, it is awesome. It is tremendous. And there's a difference, because there's a difference in focus. There's a difference in the message being delivered by the great prophet. But listen, get back to chapter 36. The remarkable thing, just by way in review, and again, we're looking at this message entitled With God's Defense. With God's defense, you can be bold and you can be strong. And we see and we saw the fact that Hezekiah, the king of Judah in the south, he's a good king. He's a good king and he's doing the right thing and he loves God and he's serving the Lord, but his nation is surrounded by the Assyrian army that is invading. And I mentioned to you last week that over 40, something like 43 or 46 city states had fallen to the invasion of the Assyrian Empire at the hands of a guy's title of Sennacherib. That's not his name, but the king of Assyria is Sennacherib, the title. And he has given himself a title, and it is the Lord of the Earth. To say that he's got an ego is an understatement. But you know what? Without God, being a pagan, and he's absolutely invincible, he believes that he's the Lord of all the earth. And every nation and every city-state that he comes to, they surrender or he destroys them. Do you remember he had a field commander by the name of Rabshakeh? I shouldn't say his name. Do you remember it's the Rabshakeh in your Bible, meaning the field commander or the general of his forces. And then there is the unfolding of all of this. Judah in the south is being invaded by the Assyrians. There's no way. They're the dominant force on earth, and they are going to take Judah, and Hezekiah recognizes that. And so surrounding Judah is this great army, and it's certain destruction. And just by way of review, chapter 36, we learned in verses 1 to 8 that he was mocking them. The Rabshakeh, the field commander, comes out there and he says, hey, don't listen to Hezekiah, you guys. You're doomed. We're going to come and we're going to destroy you. And he's mocking the king and he's mocking the people, the Jews. And look at verse 7 of chapter 36. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places, listen to this very carefully, this is Rabshakeh, the Rabshakeh speaking to the Jews, whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah in Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar. The guy's completely confused. Hezekiah, church, listen carefully. Hezekiah, when he came into power, he tore down all the high places. The Rabshakeh is either A, lying, or he's trying to spin propaganda to get the people of Israel to think their king has misled them. Church, I mentioned last time, that's how the enemy works in your life, be it a human enemy, a warfare enemy, or our collective enemy, Satan. The Bible says Satan is a liar and he'll say things to you. And what chapter 36, verse 7 says to us is that the issue is being misquoted. Hezekiah did a great thing by tearing down the high places or the Ashtoreth poles. I don't want to get into it, except you can look, if you're an adult, you can go look up Ashtoreth poles. They were all over the Middle East, wherever Babylonianism went. They were phallic symbols. People danced around them. And then when they were done dancing and worshiping, they would engage in, you can imagine, in the names of their various gods. They were minarets or poles, very high, 20, 30, 40, 60 feet tall. And there's all kinds of bizarre stories throughout history. So listen, if you see a building with a very, very high pillar or tower, that's from ancient times, that would be a high place. I'm giving you a hint today. Not so much in America, or I should say not so much in the West Coast, but in the East Coast of the U.S., in various parts of the Middle East, if not most parts of the Middle East, there are buildings with a very high, high tower. And that tower speaks to you and calls you to prayer. That high tower has a great history to it. It wasn't invented by Islam. It goes back to Babylonianism. Hezekiah tore those things down. And the Rabshakeh, the field commander of the invading army, tries to put doubt in the minds of the people, saying your president, your king, your prime minister, your leader has deceived you. Listen to me. Listen to us. Always be aware of that, people. And if you guys are going to trust in God, he says, boy, do you have another thing coming. In verses 1 through 8, he tells them, you just need to surrender. You just need to give up is what he's really suggesting to them. You need to bow down and we'll take care of you. Look at verses 10 to 13 of chapter 36. Again, we saw this last time a little bit more in detail. He's basically saying, we'll give you everything you need if you just follow us. Just bow down. Sound familiar? Just bow down and we'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Is that not what Satan said to Jesus? Wow. That's how the enemy speaks to us. Just do this and it'd be good for you. Don't worry what God says. Don't be bothered by that. Just do this. And that's what the enemy was doing to the children of Judah, to deceive them, to trick them. There's nothing new under the sun. It happens every day in our own lives. The enemy will come seeking to destroy us. We looked at last time, chapter 37, and it's important to us because as the Assyrians think about it, are surrounding and they're threatening and they're going to attack. Chapter 37 would teach us how to act when we're under attack. Look at verses 1 and 2. And again, this is all way of review. It says, and so it was that when King Hezekiah heard it, that is all the threats by the enemy, that he tore his clothes. He's not being silly. I'll explain that in a moment. He covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Good response. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And so verse 3 says, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, and he begins to recount, boy, are we in trouble. It's hopeless for us. But he's done the right thing. Remember, he went to the house of God. When he tore his clothing, that is still an act in the Middle East today. If you are so grieved and so devastated by the trauma, by the issue, by the grief, you actually tear your clothes and you'll see people, they'll even put dirt or dust on top of their heads. It's a sign of mourning. We don't get it in the West. That's what they do. And it's still something that they do today. A display of great grief. And they're grieved. And there's no hope for them. But Hezekiah goes to the house of God. We need to keep that in mind. We need to make sure that that's our practice when things are tough. Listen, many of us are tempted when things are rough. Maybe things aren't going your way. You know what? Listen, some of the worst temptations come with broken relationships, be it a spouse or children, parents, the issue, siblings. It's so tough and ugly and mean. And you get hurt. You're hurt. And one of the worst things that you can do is respond emotionally and take that rift that's between two people, you and someone else or you and your family, and then project it onto God and blame God and not go to church anymore or not worship God anymore or not cry out to him anymore. We do that as humans. It's almost like we're bent on self-destruction. The very one that we should run to for help, we fold our arms and step back from. Listen, do you have a situation in your life that ain't going well? Don't blame God. He didn't cause it. Run to him for the answer. Run to him for relief. Run to him for shelter. And we've got to fight our emotional response. There's so many people in the world upset with God over things he's not involved in, but they hold him somehow responsible or liable for the actions of crazy people or disobedient people. And God's not in that. He's blamed all the time for things like that. But the truth of the matter is, you run to God and you're going to be safe. And so, skipping ahead, because we've covered this already, look at verse 14 of chapter 37. It says, and Hezekiah received the letter. Remember that there's a letter of threat. Quit, surrender, give up, we're coming, and we're going to destroy you. No one's ever survived their attacks. They were 46-0. And so he took the letter in his hand from the messenger, and he read it. So he reads all these threatening things that are being posted about him and emailed and Facebooked about him. And he goes up again to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, Now he's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. We talked about that last time. You are God, you alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, who has sent to reproach the living God. Look at verse 18. Truly the Lord, the kings of the Assyria, have laid waste all the nations of their lands. All that's true. And have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, and all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him, that is Sennacherib. And we covered this. God is going to deliver them. And the message goes out, and he rebukes them. And he calls Sennacherib out, and God's going to intervene. He's going to defend. And God speaks. It's awesome. And that brings us now to where we left off, very exciting, chapter 37, verse 36. Are you ready for this? Look at this. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians, so they're surrounding Jerusalem, 185,000 people. And when they arose early in the morning, those are obviously the survivors, there were the corpses all dead. So listen, this is great practice, everybody. He takes the letter, lays it out before the Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord. And listen, Hezekiah's slick. He knows what he's doing. Was Hezekiah a sinner? Was Judah, the people of Judah, sinners? Absolutely. Hey, was Isaiah a sinner? Yep. Hezekiah does a very, very great thing, and we can learn a lot from him. He lays out the threats, and notice what I read a moment ago. God, you're the one. You're the Lord. It's only you. Remember, God, all the gods that the people cried out to in those other countries, those other governments, when they came against those other countries, Sennacherib killed them all. Those were gods made of stone and wood by men's hands. It's awesome in the Hebrew. It's this. Hey, God, we know who you are. I know who you are. And you ain't like those man-made gods that all the other nations have. And the proof of it is Sennacherib destroyed all those people because their gods couldn't help them. Can you imagine an enemy is invading and you run to a totem pole and ask it to help you and it's just like this. Why is it like this? Because you're the one who carved its eyes and made its mouth and its ears and it can't hear and it can't talk. Maybe you have a God like that. You thought it would do this for you. You thought it would do that for you. You thought it would bring answers for you. You thought if you had enough money saved up, or if you had enough power, or enough education, or enough fame, or whatever it is, it would answer your need in the day of trouble. It will not. It cannot. It's got no ears. Look, does not a dollar bill have two ears on it? In fact, doesn't every bill have two ears on it? Can money hear you? But I've got a Benjamin in my pocket right now. Can't hear you. Can't hear you. Lincoln cannot speak. But people go to things like that. Watch out. Gods with a lowercase g are easily assembled by us. But they never come through. They never bring us relief. And so this amazing situation is going on and he lays it out before the Lord and God is going to move. And as he prays, he leaves it in the hands of God. I'm sure they're still very grieved, but they all must go to sleep or they spent a sleepless night. Doesn't matter. An angel, look in your Bibles, you guys. It's one angel. One. One angel shows up. An angel of the Lord dispatched by God walks through the camp of the Assyrians. I mean, you can do the math. I don't know how long the night was. It doesn't give us the hours, but one angel, 185,000 soldiers are killed by this angel. So how many people is this angel killing per second? Wouldn't you love to have seen this? I mean, come on, be honest. It'd have been awesome. How did it happen? How did he do it? Was it bloodless? Did he just suck the air out of their lungs? How did it work? How did it happen? One angel. One. And they're all dead. 185,000 dead. What happens? Well, in fact, you know, before we go any further, let's look at what, I don't know, let's just look at what might 185,000 soldiers might look like. Guys, go ahead and kind of give us an idea. Right? Lord of the Rings? Imagine, you're just Judah. You're nothing. And you see the enemy coming like this? Can you imagine? And he's got a big drum like that? Think about that. What did 185,000 coming at you like that? No wonder why he went and prayed. Oh God, help us. Remember, they were pagan warriors, terrifying. War paint. The Assyrians often carried on sticks heads of those that had been vanquished. You can look it up later. That was one of their big deals. They would sometimes stack up thousands of heads as a display outside of a city that they were about to invade just to intimidate you. They were like those orcs. Seriously. Spooky crazy. And he's praying and God intervenes and he sends help. Now watch what happens. I think this is telling. Verse 37 says, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away. Well, okay. And he returned home and remained at Nineveh. Nineveh today is called Mosul in Iraq. And look what happens. This is amazing. Now it came to pass, verse 38, as he was worshiping in the house of Nesrach, his God. What do I want to point out here? Verse 38, first of all, is this. When you don't have the truth, you will believe a lie. And some of us have lived long enough to know that we have friends or family members that we've shared the gospel with for a long time, and they just wind up not listening. Have you noticed that there comes some point in time when at first they were listening, then they had questions, and then they decide, nope. Have you noticed what they do? Once they turn off their attention to the things of God, very fast, in short order, you find out from them that they are worshiping crazy things. It's, you can almost set your watch to it. Well, I've been witnessing to my friend for a long time, Jack. Well, listen, if he doesn't come to Christ, there comes a point in time. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs, he who is often rebuked will harden his heart. And when he does, it says, he will be swept away without remedy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called With God's Defense, Part 2. Thank you for joining us today. And with God as our healer, our provider, and our defense, His will is always what's best for us. With God's Defense, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, God's love runs deep. However deep you may have fallen, God is deeper still to catch you and to lift you back up again. So if you desire an encounter with God that's not just on Sunday, the best way to do that is with a quiet devotional time, just you and the Lord. Pastor Jack understands how important it is to spend quality time with God. That's why he has a devotions tab at the website. Now, these weekly devotions are written by Pastor Jack, and he also includes his previous devotions for daily use. Now, there's a section where you can subscribe to his devotional newsletter when you give us your email address. So go ahead and do that at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.